All right, so I'm Gary along here with Dom, and this is another podcast. We got the All-Star game coming up in a couple of weeks. We're going to go over who's leading the voting, who might be on the rise, who's on the fall, and who maybe deserves to make it, and then who doesn't deserve to make it. So we're going to go through each position in the American League and National League. We'll start in the American League. So in American League, Salvador Perez, the leading vote getter so far for the Kansas City Royals. He's almost got 4 million votes, and he's winning by a landslide. And he's got a great slash line, 297 average, 850 OPS. He's had power, and the Royals are still in contention in the AL Central so far. So I think he definitely deserves to make it. I don't think there's any question there. And we go to first base. We have another Royal, I believe, is leading in that category, Eric Hosmer. And honestly, Don, I believe that Miguel Cabrera should be leading this category, because if you look at Eric Hosmer's stats, he's played extremely well, but Cabrera has been so consistent every year. And so if we look at Cabrera's stats, he's having another elite season like he always does. 296 average, 370 on base percentage, 45 RBI, 16 home runs. And there's just no questioning. Cabrera has been the best first baseman in American League, if not in all of baseball, for a number of years now. And honestly, I think if he's not going to – I think both of them are deserving, but I think Cabrera deserves to be more – deserves to be closer than it is.
Yeah, especially – I think especially last year with the Royals, how, like, every position was filled up by, like, a Royals player. Now, yeah, this year in the National League, we'll get to it, but the Cubs, they're filling in every position. I think just the fans are voting for Eric Hosmer just because he's on one of those, I'm not going to say elite teams right now, because the Royals did get a lot better than when they were at 500 earlier in the season. But Miguel Cabrera and the Tigers haven't been doing well this year. So I just feel like that's part of it also. And for Salvador Perez, he's been the perennial catcher in the league the past couple of years, since, like, winning the World Series and stuff. And no surprise there, he has almost a 2 million lead in the catcher spot in the American League. But, yeah, Miguel Cabrera, I agree with you. He's definitely going to make the All-Star team, but to start, it's going to be a tight race. It's not a line between them, about 500,000 votes, which, yeah, a little half a million, pretty a lot. But going into second base, Jose Altuve, he's leading it by just under a million votes on Robinson Cano, and Altuve's having another great year, batting average wise too. He's batting another almost 350 with his powers here too. 13 home runs, over 100 hits already before the All-Star break, and he's on pace to have another great season.
I agree, and the second baseman in the American League has been kind of crowded, because Robinson Cano's had an incredible bounce-back season, as a lot of people thought he would. After Edgar Martinez took over as hitting coach second half last year, he really turned it around, and he kind of dismissed all those thoughts about him declining, all that stuff. And it's not just Cano and Altuve who are working their way in the conversation for MVP, not just the All-Star game lead. It's Ian Kinsler on the Tigers, who's been really hot. He's got 14 home runs. He's got 293 average, 348 on base, and in his last 15 games, he's only batted 200, but he's still well-deserving of a spot in San Diego in a couple weeks. And also Dustin Pedroia on the Red Sox is also a solid player that deserves some more love, too. So we'll go to third base now in the American League, and the current leader is Manny Machado. And what you have to remember is, although he's headed Josh Donaldson, who's having actually a better year than last year when he won the MVP in the American League. Machado's also been playing a lot of shortstop, so a lot of people have problems with that. But I think Donaldson, there's not even a question, he's going to work his way onto the team, and he'll be there in San Diego along with Manny. And can't forget about Kyle Seager also. Kyle Seager's also had a great year for the Seattle Mariners, who really haven't had a lot of things go their way this year. He's had a solid year with 340 on base. And although the batting average isn't there, he's got a great glove at third base. And we'll move to shortstop now, where there's a lot of young players in this American League.
Yeah, shortstop, Xander Bogaerts. leading in Alcides Escobar is on there. Troy Tulowitzki, Elvis Andrus, Carlos Correa are all in the running. Carlos Correa and Elvis Andrus just shy of a million votes. But Xander Bogaerts, who's leading it right now, obviously 343 average, 9 home runs, 109 hits. He has just been on a tear for the Red Sox, who's a great hitting. The Red Sox are a great offensive power and offensively driven team. And Bogaerts, only 23 years old, I would suspect him to be in the All-Star game for years to come, the way this year is shaping up.
Yeah, another guy that fits that category is Francisco Lindor on the Indians. He's been a big surprise. Well, I wouldn't say surprise because they have pretty big expectations out of him, but he's playing really well this year. He's got an 850 OPS and a 314 average, great switch hitter. And he's got a really bright future as well. And he's the likely backup in the American League right now. And Carlos Correa, I watched him the other day, and the numbers aren't necessarily there, but he's gotten hits where he needs to. He's gotten a couple. I think he got a walk-off hit this year. He might have a couple, actually. And I just see the 356 on base percentage is not too bad. He's gotten hits where he needs to.
And in his last seven games, he's trying to make a push for that All-Star game. He's batting 296 with 3 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely. Last seven games, he's been pretty red hot, trying to get his name into the All-Star game. And for outfield, there's a lot of players here, obviously, three positions. Mike Trout, Jackie Bradley Jr., and Mookie Betts. Two Red Sox on there, and you also got Lorenzo Cain. And Carlos Beltran right now is 10th, but he's been having an unbelievable year. He only had 18 home runs last year, and he already has 19 this year. He's batting 294, and he has 77 hits. He's 39 years old. I believe he should find his way into the All-Star game somehow and possibly get more votes, because right now I just don't see him how he's number 10 on that list.
Also, another guy I kind of have a problem with here, and I think this goes into the category of teams that have a lot of hype. Their players tend to make the game more often. And this year, that goes along with the Boston Red Sox with a lot of expectations. And really, Jackie Bradley is only leading in the votes because of 28 games this year when he had that long hitting streak.
Yeah.
He's batted 231 in his last 30 games. And everyone talked to me saying, oh, he learned to hit. He's really become a valuable bat in their lineup, whether he's at the top of the bottom of the order. And he's not doing well. He's just simply not. This whole season he's done well because he batted almost like 400 for a solid month and a half of the season. Since then, he hasn't been great. He's had a little more power than he usually does. But be honest with you, I think there's that are more deserving, and Ian Desmond on the Rangers was probably one of the top three best signings this winter,
mm-hmm.
and he really deserves a lot more love than he's gotten. Only just over a million votes, and he really deserves to be there. I really believe he does, especially if you're going to go in teams that have a lot of hype. You can't tell me the Texas Rangers don't have expectations to be a Final Four team this year.
Yeah,
they have to be, and I really believe Ian Desmond deserves a lot more love than he's gotten. Also, Mark Trumbo does, too. He's leading the majors in home runs. And George Springer's been on a tear as well.
Yeah, and go back to Jackie Bradley Jr. He has a 296 average, 13 home runs. On the surface, that looks, respectable and obviously All-Star game worthy. But his last 30 games, he's been batting 231.
Yeah.
And then last 15, 216. Last 7 games, batting 208 with 6 strikeouts. So he's really struggling of late, but obviously, like I said, the average 296, it looks good, but it should be a lot better than that.
It should. And another guy that I was going to talk about is Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts has been phenomenal all season. He's got an extremely bright future. And he's not only has an incredible glove in the outfield, probably won some gold gloves in his career.
Mm-hmm.
He's shown a lot of power this season. He's not a particularly big guy. He's only 5'9", 180 pounds, and he's got 16 bombs this year, and he's betting just shy of 290. And he's a great power-speed combo, and he's what you would call a great all-around player. And he's definitely deserving a spot on this team, along with Mike Trout, who's on a struggling Angels team, has shined as a star, as he usually does. So, and then the DH conversation, it's not even one. Dave Ortiz is going to be in San Diego, and he's going to relish his last All-Star game as a major league player.
Yeah, he has like a 2.3 million vote lead right now.
And he's the best hitter in baseball this year, which is incredible.
Yeah, 335, 18 home runs.
He's having his best season, and he's retiring.
Already 62 rings. I mean, yeah, 40 years old. David Ortiz really knows how to hit. He's just a pure hitter. With that sweet stroke, he's been doing it all year long. And there's no doubt he's going to be the DH.
I mean, I could see him batting cleanup in all honesty. I really do. He's been that good this year, and a lot of people say that he should continue to play, but I think he wants to go out on a high note. That's how he wants to do it. And I don't think he's that much concerned about his career numbers and stuff like that. I think he just wants to have fun, because when we watch David Ortiz the whole time that we've been following baseball in our lives, and he's always been one of the most fun guys to watch, and he obviously has a lot of fun.
Especially in that 2013 World Series, we hit those big home runs.
All right. Let's go to the National League now. And right now, the current fan choice is Yadier Molina on the Cardinals.
He has a very, very slim lead, only about 5,000 votes between him and Buster Posey.
Yep, that is still up for grabs, that race. And Yadier Molina, he's been a star catcher in the league for a long time. And a lot of people say he has a Hall of Fame case. And he's been on so many great Cardinals teams this year. He's doing it again. He's rebounded well from his thumb injuries that he's had. I think he's had three surgeries on his thumb. And but both of them, they're very deserving. I honestly would probably take Posey over Yadi, just because Posey has that massive hitting edge over Molina. But there's no denying that Molina's not only been the best defensive catcher over the past probably decade or so, he's one of the best defensive catchers to ever play this game. And but this year, Buster Posey's batting .282. Only has 8 home runs, but he also has 17 doubles, and he's been on a solid Giants team and this season. Just under 800 OPS. I think we'll definitely pick it up, though. And he's Buster Posey. He's the man. And I think they're going to continue to be close, but then again, it all depends on how well their teams do, because that seems to be a huge reason why a lot of guys get the nod.
Yeah, so. Going off of that, Brandon Belt, who's on the Giants, he's got a 301, 10 home runs, 38 RBIs, and Paul Goldschmidt Brandon Belt's in the second spot on the first base behind Anthony Rizzo, and Paul Goldschmidt's number 3 on that list, and he's having another great year, batting 304, 14 home runs, 51 RBIs. And it might be, like you said, because of the teams. The Giants, obviously, in first place, 49-29 record. And Arizona, 36-43. It just, that's probably what the fans do. They have to put that into consideration when they're voting. Right here, when I'm looking at this, I feel like Paul Goldschmidt should be in front of Brandon Belt. And Paul Goldschmidt doesn't even have a million votes yet.
Yeah, because Paul Goldschmidt is on a team where he's not going to get a whole lot of attention. I mean, this guy is a guy that, if he played in New York or something like that, he would be a household name.
Oh, yeah.
He's not necessarily that because he plays in Arizona.
I feel like him and Nolan Arenado, a lot of people don't know who that is. And Nolan Arenado is arguably a top 3 player in the league, especially this year.
I do understand the Coors Field thing. And I mean, I see guys play that ballpark that just hit pop-ups that just carry 400 feet out of the
stadium. And I think everyone took that to a next level when they saw the stats of Troy Tulowitzki when he played at Coors Field. His numbers were unbelievable. And then when he went on the road, the splits were just unreal. He was batting like over 300 at home and then like in the 250s on the road.
He also wasn't as well with Toronto either.
Yeah.
And although you have to take into account that Troy Tulowitzki's been a guy that's dealt with a lot of injuries over his career. He's a guy that is a superstar, and a lot of guys that play in Coors Field, they don't receive a whole lot of love because of that.
Yeah, Troy Tulowitzki is .214 average.
And Anthony Rizzo, though, I definitely think he deserves it. He's been phenomenal.
Is he one of those Cubs that you think, look, he definitely deserves to be on there and, you know, starting in that All-Star game?
Starting, I'm not too sure about. I think Goldschmidt's the guy in the National League. But Anthony Rizzo, he it's who the fans want to see, because you, although a lot of people said fans shouldn't vote, you have to have the guys in the games that the fans want. And the fans have to have some say in who goes there, because it's about the fans. The fans want to see who goes. And you're not going to want to see somebody that's not a lot of people know about, even if they're good. So, but I do think Goldschmidt is going to make the team somehow. I just don't think he'll be the first guy to take first base after the players are introduced. And something I wanted to talk about here, Nolan Arenado, this season, home games, he has 13 doubles. Away games, he has 5. And this is really comparable, because he's played 35 games at home and 40 on the road. 140 bats at home, 152 on the road. And the run scores, he's the same. He has the same exact amount of hits in 43. But he has 12 home runs at home and 9 away, which isn't too big of a difference.
Yeah.
But he has 40 RBIs at home, and he has 25 away. And that's in the same amount of at-bats, actually more at-bats on the road. And he has his on-base percentage is 40% worse in away games. His slugging percentage is 15% worse. And, it's absolutely – well, 15% is in – he goes from 657 to 507. So I don't know if that's 150 points. I think it's 150 points, so yeah. But and then his OPS is ridiculously different. It goes from 1.05 to 0.861. So he's obviously been a lot different player on the road, and I think Coors Field has a lot to do with that, because Coors Field, the air is thinner and the ball travels farther. And I think that's going to hurt Rockies players forever until someone like a David Ortiz or somebody actually plays there. And then they put up spectacular numbers. That's why I think guys like Todd Helton and Larry Walker are going to have their Hall of Fame cases hurt, because they played in Coors Field, even though their numbers are deserving. So now I believe we're going to shortstop in the National League.
Yeah. We just talked about third base, shortstop, Addison Russell. And I know you want to talk about Addison Russell leading it over Trevor Story and Corey Seager of the Dodgers.
Addison Russell. I can't believe this guy. Addison Russell is one of those guys that should not be. Not only should he not be starting in San Diego, he should not be in San Diego, period. If guys like Paul Goldschmidt aren't going to be starting and have a chance not being there, guys like Bryce Harper aren't going to be there, there's no reason somebody like Addison Russell should be playing. I mean, the guy's a fine young player.
He's only 22.
Yeah, he's born 1994, and he's going to be a solid young player for a long time. I know he played pretty well last year. He showed some power. 29 doubles. This year, he's got 58 hits. And he's a .236 hitter this season with .327 on base percentage. Doesn't even have 400 slugging percentage. He has a 705 OPS. He just should not be there.
And I think that just goes to show you that the Cubs obviously are the perennial team in the National League right now, and the fans see them on prime time and stuff, and they see Addison Russell. They just say, you know what? We want everyone. We're just going to keep voting for Addison Russell. 1.7 million votes. Corey Seager, only about 1 million votes. And he's had a way better year than Addison Russell has. And Trevor Story obviously had all those home runs in the first week of his, seemed like the first week of a major league career. I believe he's had 19 right now.
Yeah, and the thing with Trevor Story is he's never been in a slump this year. He's kept it going the whole year. And I know you could say Addison Russell's got a great glove and he should be there, but if we're basing this off glove alone, Brandon Crawford is the guy, because he's the best, one of the best defensive shortstops, if not the best defensive shortstop in the National League. And I think Corey Seager's the guy this year. He's young. I think he's been phenomenal for the Dodgers this year. Although Story's been good, he's really just been kind of a power hitter. And I think Seager is a great all-around player.
Yeah, that .271 average compared to Addison Russell.
Yes, absolutely. And I think Story deserves more love, and Addison Russell does not deserve nearly as much love as he's gotten. And I think we didn't do second base yet. Second base, there is no denying that Daniel Murphy is or should be the starter in San Diego in 2 weeks. He has flirted with a 400 batting average. And Ben Zobrist, another Cubs player, is in the front. And although Zobrist is hovering around 300 average, he's got over 400 on base percentage, he's been a great catalyst for that Cubs lineup, very versatile as well. Daniel Murphy has been one of the best hitters in the National League this year, and he clearly deserves to be the starter. He's leading the league with 100 hits this year. He's batting 350, 392 on base, 573 slugging. And there's just no excuse. Daniel Murphy is the guy. And I think MLB will find a way for him to, if for some reason he doesn't make it in the fan vote or whatever, the MLB will definitely find a way to make him the direct backup to Ben Zobrist. And right now, he's not trailing by much. It's only 300,000 votes. So I believe that he can get there. So, right now, let's go to, we're going to talk about Chris Bryant real quick at third base. Chris Bryant had a monster game last night, 5 for 5 with 2 doubles and 3 home runs. Never been done before in the history of baseball. History of baseball. And that's going to boost him in the votes a little bit. So I think he's in the 280s now. But Nolan Arenado is, like Dom said, he's one of the top 3 players in baseball, arguably. So I think Nolan Arenado definitely deserves the nod. Also Matt Carpenter's been really he's been a solid player too. He's got a 413 on base percentage, 296 average, and he's almost got 1,000 OPS. He definitely deserves a lot more love too. So we are gonna go to the outfield now in the National League.
Yeah, Dexter Fowler obviously for the Cubs. Bryce Harper's up there even though he's had a big drop off this year compared to last year when he batted about 333 throughout, and Bryce Harper now batting 254. You want to assess this on there with the Mets, and Jason Hayward, you got Ryan Braun, Andrew McCutchen. He's just coming around with some more home runs. He got his first ejection actually a couple days ago against the Dodgers. He's out on number 10, Hunter Pence, but going to Dexter Fowler, number 1 on the Cubs. He's batting 297 home runs, and I think people are going to look at 28 RBIs. I know he's like top of the order, but he's not enough, in my opinion, there, 398 on base percentage. Mm-hmm. And looking at Bryce Harper, do you think Bryce Harper should be, do you think he's up there just because of his name? Because he obviously hasn't put up the numbers he has, in my opinion, to be a starter.
He's slumping, he is, but Bryce Harper, he's Bryce Harper. Exactly. If you look at these other guys, they're not established stars. Jorge Soler is not an established star. Dexter Fowler has been a solid player, but he definitely deserves to be there. But yeah, Jorge Soler is not even batting 230 this year, and he's one of the
five home. It's not like he's batting like 223 and with 15 home runs. He's batting 223, 5 home runs, 13 RBIs, and 130 at bats. Only 29 hits.
His production has been minuscule, and He's got that red C on his hat, and that's why he's there. And Andrew McCutchen, starting Marte, back to back in the voting at 8 and 9. Mm-hmm. And Stephen Piscotty's been a really big surprise for the Cardinals. Seems like the Cardinals every year I say, all right, this is the year that they're bad. Yeah. The Cardinals still haven't been that great this year, but Stephen Piscotty's been incredible. They always seem to have that one draft pick that they call up, and he's phenomenal. And he's batting 288 this year with a 370 on base, and he's been solid this year. And this year, I think Cespedes should be – he's one of the most popular players in baseball now, Yoenis Cespedes. Mm-hmm. Now that he's in the Big Apple.
Yeah.
And I think he probably deserves the most votes out of anybody in the National League. I think he's been the guy. And I always thought Yoenis Cespedes had a cap. Like, he'd always be a solid power hitter, and he'd always be popular. But I never thought Cespedes would, like, really – transcend that and really move himself into the MVP caliber player.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to start doing that.
I mean, there was talk of him being MVP in the National League last year when he came over from the American League. So that was pretty cool. And yeah, obviously helped the Mets get to the World Series, mm-hmm. propel them into the postseason. And this year's 18 homers, batting 289. He's really helping the Mets this year as well. That's why he deserves to be in the All-Star game, if not starting. Mm-hmm.
Also, if we go to offensive wins above replacement, we see that Matt Carpenter, earlier we talked about, is sixth in the major leagues in offensive war. and Chris Bryant and Daniel Murphy are both up there too. So, I know Chris Bryant is leading right now, but I still believe Nolan Arenado is the guy, despite the fact that you know, his numbers are kind of inflated at home, and Chris Bryant hasn't been quite the defensive superstar that Arenado is. Arenado's probably the best defensive third baseman in all of baseball. And that factors into his WAR because Nolan Arenado is the fifth best player in baseball when it comes to wins above replacement position players. Goes Trout, Altuve, Machado, Donaldson, and Arenado. And also a guy we forget about is Adam Eaton, the center fielder for the White Sox. He got 3.7 wins above replacement. And then Cano was up there too on that list. So a lot of these guys are deserving. Do all of them, are all of them going to make it? No. But there's a lot of speculation about whether certain guys will drop, certain guys will keep going, and the only way that we could determine that is we watch them play. And there's not much time left. I believe there's only 3 days left to vote, so everybody should get the votes in. But yeah, so it's been tough, and we'll talk about pitchers a little bit now, even though they're not up to us to vote for. We'll talk about some pitchers right now.
Clayton Kershaw, obviously, 1.79 ERA. You got Chris Sale with 13 wins. These two pitchers have been, you know, the face of the left-handed southpaw pitchers. And you also got Familia on the Mets, 26 AT. Should be in there for relief. And Clayton Kershaw, he's just, every year he just comes in with these ERAs just out of nowhere. Not really out of nowhere because he does it every year. 11-2, 1.79 ERA, 145 strikeouts. I mean, his career stats, 125-58 with a 2.39. And he's 28 years old, so.
This guy's going to go down as one of the best best guys to ever throw baseball. There's no doubt about that. And I saw them compare him to a bunch of past pitchers on MLB Network the other day. And Brian Kenny pulled up some numbers like he usually does. And they came up with, I think it was how many innings he throws and then what percent better that is than the league average.
Mm-hmm.
And Kershaw's innings pitched, the amount that he provides, is 25% better than the league average or something around that range. And then they compared him to Sandy Koufax, which is a good comparison. Both lefties and Dodgers, they're both dominant. And they compared him to Koufax. And Koufax is like 30-something percent better. And then they compared, in looking all time, they compared him to Walter Johnson, Kershaw, in terms of production. And even though back then, in Johnson's age, you know, you pitched like once every couple of days, and they were each guy threw so many innings. Walter Johnson was like 58% better than the rest of the league or something like that. He threw 350 innings on average. And I think in terms... So he's been, by far, Johnson was the best to ever pitch, but compared to his era. But even when you consider guys like Randy Johnson, Roger Clemens that pitched recently. But I think the most dominant stretch for a starter, although it's not talking about it, I think there's no doubt it was Pedro Martinez. His stretch that he had. But Kershaw's definitely put up his fight. Absolutely. Kershaw had, or not, Pedro has the record for whip in this season. I think it's .74. Mm-hmm. And this year, Kershaw, he's been following. He's .72 this year, which would break the record. And he had some ridiculous. I think he's breaking the record this year for Ks per walk.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he's got 145 strikeouts this year, and he's on pace to get close to 300 again. And he's just been phenomenal. He's got a 4.6 WAR for pitchers. 4.8 wins above replacement. 0.66 walks per nine. He's not even walking one batter per nine innings. It's below that.
Yeah, he did struggle in his last start, though, against Pittsburgh.
Yes.
And the loss in six innings, giving up 9 hits, 4 runs. That was a surprise. But going back to these pitchers, for the American League, I think the knuckleballer, Steven Wright, with a 2.18 ERA. And
yep.
He should 1.14 WHIP. He should definitely get. He's probably most definitely going to get into the All-Star game. He's been pitching lights out for the Red Sox, and it seems like no one can hit that knuckleball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so those will probably undoubtedly be the two starters, Kershaw and Wright. So that's what we have to say about them. And then I think in the American League, some backups that you'll have. You'll have Johnny Cueto, obviously. You'll have Mad Bum, both of them from the Giants. Yeah. You'll have Jake Arrieta, no doubt. And then I think Steven Strasburg deserves to be there, but he's got an injury.
Just got nominated, though.
Okay, nominated. Jose Fernandez is back and kicking, and he's
been wiped out.
He had 13 strikeouts last outing, and he deserves to be there. And John Lester has been great this year on the Cubs. He's got a 2.1 ERA. And Julio Teheran, too, has a 2.46. And Noah Syndergaard, he's pitching with a bone spur in his elbow right now, which is a bad sign for the Mets, but
John,
he's got
did
a
you mention John Cueto?
Yes, I did. And he's been phenomenal, too. What I realize is here is that more often now, you're having more pitchers. This is the most dominant the pitchers have ever been. And if we look at it, I looked in past years, the ERA leaders, and typically there are between, there's usually around 10 pitchers each year in the whole major leagues that'll have an ERA under 3. And when you look at it this year, I'm going to count you how many guys have an ERA under 3 this year. Not only are two guys have an ERA under 2, there are 21 pitchers this season who have ERAs under 3. That's phenomenal.
Yeah, Tanaka and Masahiro Tanaka and Carlos Martinez of the St. Louis Cardinals both have Tanaka's at 3.01 and Martinez is at 3.02. So they're right on the cusp of guy under.
And same with Jose Quintana as well. Yeah. It's just phenomenal how dominant pitchers are these days. You never see this many dominant pitchers. And like, if we look last season when pitchers, it's pretty much the same pitchers. Only 12 pitchers had an ERA under 3. I know we're only halfway through the season, and guys get tired when it comes to dog days in July and August, but this is a phenomenal time for pitchers, and it's going to be exciting to see them all in San Diego in a couple of weeks.
So, I think Bartolo Colon, 43 years old, 6'4", 6'4", with a 2.86 ERA. He's been dealing for the Mets, especially with Steven Matz has been injured, Zach Wheeler has been injured, so coming up big for the Mets over there in Queens.
Now for the American League, I think Chris Sale's definitely going to get some. He's going to get an inning or two in the game. I believe that Chris Tillman will as well.
Danny Salazar.
I think the National League, though, definitely has the upper hand when it comes to
pitching. Yeah, the National League seems like they always have them. Because they have Bumgarner over there, and Kershaw. Last year they had Greinke. Well, they had Greinke this year, too, but Greinke obviously not doing as well as he did last year.
Yeah, the National League this year, I think there's no doubt going to win the All-Star game, and also that'll give them home field advantage in the World Series. We'll get to that in a little bit. But I believe that'll really help whichever National League team's there. I think this year is going to be another year where the National League wins the World Series because you have teams like the Mets, Nationals, and, well, it depends. The Mets are having some injury problems with Steven Matthews on Syndergaard right now. If they lose them, they're not making it. But if they between the Nationals, the Cubs, obviously, and the Dodgers are still relevant, and they're the top teams right now in their divisions. And I think they're one of those teams that's going to make it far. I don't think that the Red Sox have the pitching to make it. I think the Rangers are, they're there, but they have to keep everyone healthy.
And a pitcher that I'm very disappointed in is Chris Archer with a 4-10. He's 4-10 with a 4.7. He's 27 years old. I feel like every year I'm just waiting for him to be this dominant pitcher, be this big strikeout guy. He does have 108 strikeouts this year, but he's really struggled this year. And
he was a lot of guys picked to win the Cy Young.
Yeah, he's been very disappointing.
So, if there's any, I'm not a big fan of the All-Star game when it comes to its circumstances, because if you're going to let the fans, who a lot of them probably don't have the knowledge of sabermetrics and who like that knowledge of player evaluations that they probably should, if they're going to be choosing who's going to play in a very important game, I really don't think that the fans should have as heavy of an impact on who plays. I think that the coaches and the players who actually watch these guys play every single day should have that final decision. Also, the guys from Sabre that really know how to evaluate players.
And I think the fans, most of them, yeah, they could, some of them would sit down and be like, look, I know I'm a Yankee fan, but I'm going to vote for Jackie Bradley Jr. out in the outfield and not Carlos Beltran because he deserves it. Or Mike Trout. And there's other fans that would just be like, look, I follow this guy on social media. I love him. I'm just going to vote for him, even though he doesn't deserve it, like Addison Russell, you know, at for the Cubs. And that's when the fans, you know, a lot of debate comes in. Should the fans be voting, like you said? And
well, it's not like they're voting for, like Ramiro Pena or something like that to start the game. Like, all the fans have an idea. And all these guys have arguments. It's just who's leading and who should be starting that makes the difference. And if you're going to have a game that determines home field advantage, which is probably the most important thing when it comes to trying to win the World Series, you're going to leave whoever gets home field advantage up to a bunch of fans. Like, I really don't think it makes a whole lot of sense. But, like last year, MLB era, didn't they have to take away a whole bunch of votes from the All-Star game just because the whole starting nine was Royals?
Yeah, I think maybe like up to eight or something was Royals.
Yeah, it was like all Royals and then Mike Trout.
Yeah, Mike Trout was out in the outfield.
Yeah, it's it causes a lot of problems over baseball fans, but I think in the end of the day, All-Star game is just something fun for the fans to watch. And I think they do need to make some changes, though, and I trust the manager. So we'll be excited to watch the All-Star game in a couple weeks.
Yeah,
some guys deserve to be there. Some guys don't. But there's still a couple of days left, and anything can happen. Still, there's still a couple close races, and we'll see what happens. So I think that does it for our podcast, our All-Star game edition. I'm Gary along with Dom, and we'll see you guys next time.